Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. We're a show that takes on all kinds of issues, and we interview all kinds of people, from musicians to politicians to scientists, and people who have something to offer in the area of, day-to-day people politics. And I think that's what we have today in the person of Scott Lewis. One of the things that he's trying to do is to get on the board of the LIPA, because the statute, as it was written, allowed for people to get on it without being appointed by the power brokers who would like to control everything. Now, how are you doing?
Terrific.
Yeah. What? How many people bought your argument?
Unions, all my customers, including Bart and Anthony from Windows on the Lake.
Yeah.
Do
you have did work for them?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a energy analysis, and we had them enrolled in the National Grid rebate program for the analysis.
This is Windows on the Lake.
Correct. Yeah,
and probably the other restaurant as well, the Beach Club, right?
Yeah. So they here's the controversy, right here. You brought up a good controversy because they were supposed to get each of those facilities a rebate, and they only received checks for one of the two facilities. So there you have it.
Yeah.
And then, so what I did was I looked back into history, and I found that the Rockefellers used the same procedure 100 years ago, when they formed the public to essentially stop their competitors from with their monopoly. And what they did was gave rebates with the oil monopoly, right? So they would give rebates to their distributors. And that same strategy is being used today by National Grid, which is a UK-based company. And
when you say rebates to their customers?
Yes, whether it's rebates for energy efficiency programs, where we actually do the blueprint for the energy reduction.
But they're selling that as a good idea.
Oh, it's absolutely.
It's
a good idea to protect their monopoly, but it's a bad idea when it comes to the customers. Because,
you know, years ago I worked for AT&T, specifically New York Telephone Company.
Okay.
And we had 400 telephone companies in the state of New York back in those days. That sounds ridiculous, but we did. Some of these telephone companies were two blocks long. They had maybe 20 subscribers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were up in these rural areas. And it was 400 of them. Some of them were much bigger. You know. You had some that had 1,000 customers. Some had 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened back then when I was in the company, they sent us up there during a nice storm to fix all of the lines of these little tiny companies that didn't have the resources to rebuild. And I said, why do we do that? And the answer was simple, because we're a monopoly. But as long as we have those 400 meaningless little companies out there, we're going to get away with it.
And then until the divestiture, until people woke
until,
up.
You know, the telephone company changed, dramatically. And all of those guys were out of business anyway, because you can't run a modern telephone company like that. But because there were so many different big competitors, so-called big competitors, that the little guys were just thrown under the bus.
I can share with you a really incredible piece that's applicable to what we're talking about here. I mentioned that the telephone company got sold to the UK. Well, Verizon Wireless in 1999 was sold to the UK. So our friend Snowden actually turns out to be a hero, because they were using Verizon Wireless to peep in on all of our conversations here on Long Island. And the...
You know, the only problem I have with them sneaking up on my conversations, they're going to be bored to death.
yours, perhaps, but mine, I don't know.
Well, I don't know about your sex life.
That's,
is like,
well,
know,
I met this really terrific gal Saturday.
Okay, go ahead. But no, that's another crow in my throat.
Okay, so here's the good that came out of our lawsuit by Greg Fisher, myself, Bill Giroux, and George Bloom, was that during the discovery period of our running for the trustee of LIPA, we had learned that Verizon had been sold, and we exposed it. And as soon as we did that, the state of New York's pension fund, and in conjunction with Verizon Wireless, was bought back by our country from Vodafone, and we had to pay $100 or $300 billion to buy back our own public property. And that happened the exact quarter that we were in the centralized courthouse. So what it amounts to is that I don't believe Bush or Obama knew that those that critical infrastructure was sold in to, the centralized courthouse. But so essentially that property went without either president signing off on it. And that's why there was a rush to get it back. Not only it back, but getting PSE&G back. That deal is a result of our efforts. It has nothing to do with Governor Cuomo's efforts. It's because we exposed that our critical infrastructure was sold to a foreign country, and we said, that's it. You're busted. We've got you. We know what happened here. It was wrong. I mean, look, Hillary Clinton tried to – she was the only one that spoke up with the ports, the sale of our ports to Dubai. Nobody else – none of this was brought up. None of the sale of the sale of this critical infrastructure was talked about, brought up. It was all done under the wire. We exposed it as part of the suit. And as a result, they ran and got their butts in gear to get it back. And that's because we brought it to light, like you're bringing it to light right now on the radio.
I don't know that having Dubai own the ports was as bad as having our utilities owned by a foreign entity. Because, you know, I don't, let me see, I have a, you know, I have a gut feeling that it's so well regulated that, you know, it's just going to be, you know, business as usual rather than...
Glad you mentioned that. Because I didn't finish the thought on the rebate, you know, we were talking about Standard Oil. After Standard Oil was, the people were so fed up in the 1900s with the monopoly, they broke it up. And what they did was they created the Public Service Commission to make sure that no firm would use rebates to control a monopoly. So what we've just seen happen 100 years later is that some way, somehow, our Public Service Commission has forgotten their mission in life, which is to prevent monopolies from using their muscle.
Now, you do solar energy, right?
We have 15.
You get subsidized, don't you?
Well, here, let me share with you how what they do is they'll give a rebate to one solar company, but they won't give it to mine so they can put me out of business. That's what they do. So they can give their buddies a lift or a competitive edge over a company like mine. And so that's how rebates can be detrimental. In fact, they've completely stalled the whole solar industry on Long Island, if you haven't noticed. I mean, it's if you go to New Jersey or you go to some other progressive
states. Well, I do know that the rebates are very low at this point. I mean, from $5, I think they're down to 60 cents.
Well,
on a watt. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, the cost of solar has dropped by about 80%. So, you know, those things, I'm almost looking forward to the time when they don't do anything. And the technology is so commanding that you'll buy it just because it's a better deal and it's cheap and it's, and you unstrap yourself from the utility.
Precisely. And that's what we do, is we coach people on how, instead of needing two electric meters, you only need none. You could be self-sufficient. They call it net positive ability.
Well, you can build a system that has a storage capacity, but that increases your cost of the system too, and it's substantial.
Well, here's something else that people didn't factor in with the cylinders and the things that went on. When I first started in 2008, the price of silver went through the roof, and what that did to the solar panel business was make the solar panels cost that much more, because that's a key component of the solar panel.
By the way, that was the Hunt brothers that did that. They were the they were two very wealthy men in brothers actually, in Texas, and they did things to corner the market, and that's why silver went up, and when they got busted, that's why it went down, and it went down dramatically.
And we've just seen a recap of that recently, and it, with the other metals and.
I don't know that the other metals are the same thing. I mean, China is not building the same amount of product as they were, so they don't need copper. So when I, you know, when you salvage copper, it's you're not getting the same at the junkyard because there's not a demand on the other end. We got to close this segment. I'm talking to Scott Lewis today, and we're talking about certain things about government that are corrupt. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking, and you're listening to 103.9 FM on Long Island News Radio.